This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
The beer is cold and the wings are hot. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
You see our next guest on NFL Network. You hear him on Florio's football show. You hear him with us during fantasy football season. Always love talking to Michael F. Florio. Talking ball, talking Bills. And we have you on with great timing, Mike, because we got a couple of moves here, some seismic moves as far as fantasy football is concerned, and a name that we're all very familiar with, now available to other teams. Welcome back into the sports bar. Thanks for making time for us. And we'll talk about Pickens and the seismic shift of what that means for him. But let's start with Gabe Davis being released today by the Jacksonville Jaguars, because we know how much you love the Buffalo Bills, and we got a lot of people saying, well, this just makes too much sense. Just bring him back. What's your take on Davis, the lack of production last year, and what could be next?
Yeah, I think Gabe Davis would seemingly fit right into the Bills' locker room again. The only thing I would argue is maybe in a smaller role, because look, Gabe Davis is very good at certain things on the football field. He can stretch the field. He's a really good run blocker, a physical style wide receiver. He's also a bit limited, right? Like hands were an issue at times. He doesn't create a ton of separation. So as long as his role, I would say if he slides into this everyone eats type of attitude, and I don't think he will from a target sense, like want the ball a bunch or anything like that. But he rarely left the field when he was here. So I think the Bills have more depth now than they did back then. They have other options who could see the field. But for fantasy, Davis is a much better real-life wide receiver than he is for fantasy. As anyone who has had him in the past knows, he's been very inconsistent because he's a big play threat, and those are hard to connect on. So when he does connect, he'll give you a really big fantasy game. But there's other weeks where you're going to be left wanting some more.
Yeah, it's so strange. Let's stay with the Bills here for a second, Michael, because here's a team that has the MVP at quarterback, one of the best offensive lines in the league, and a very good running game. But when it comes to targets, I don't know if it's particularly useful because, well, now you bring in two more guys here. We haven't talked since the Bills signed Josh Palmer. So your thoughts on that? Because my impression of Palmer, Mike, was, okay, I need a wide receiver. Let me pick him up. And I never timed it out right, and he never really produced with the Chargers. Or could he be better in this system? And then also the Bills signing Elijah Moore. Again, another receiver that, okay, this will be year five for him. Never really a good quarterback he's played with, but you know, some of the stories coming out of the Jets. What do you make of these two new wide receivers in Buffalo, Mike?
I think Josh Palmer is a really good fit for the Bills. Now, look, I'm a Ladd McConkey fan, so I do wish it was the other former, now current Charger wide receiver that was on the Bills, and they had the chance to get him. But look, Josh Palmer is a trader that could play X, and I think that is something that the Bills were lacking last year. Big Keon Coleman fan, but he is not the best separator. In fact, that was one thing that he has struggled with in his career, both in college and at the NFL. And Mac Hollins was also that style of receiver, more contested catch than pure separator. So the Bills got a type of receiver that they did not have on the roster last season, and that is someone who you could put out wide who will create consistent separation. He's also a better at getting open downfield than anyone the Bills had last year. So perhaps we get a couple more long balls from Josh Allen to Palmer, but what I really think his impact is most going to be felt is helping open up stuff underneath for guys like Khalil Shakir and Dalton Kincaid, James Cook, and Ty Johnson and out of the backfield, stuff like that, because now you have someone that you have to worry about winning consistently downfield. As for Elijah Moore, I think he is a good signing for depth, but he operates best out of the slot. I don't expect him to play over Khalil Shakir or anything like that in that role. A good rotational piece, someone who I think helps slide into this everyone eats attitude and doesn't mind being a rotational player. He's done that for much of his career already. Plus, it's good peace of mind because I know the Bills feel comfortable about their top four wide receivers, but after that, it was pretty thin on the depth chart. So this is another veteran receiver that in a pinch, an injury, something like that, you could slide in and feel good that, like, you know what you're going to get out of him. You're going to get a reliable target who could just get open for Josh Allen.
Michael LaFlorio, NFL Network, joins us here in the Sports Bar to talk about the Buffalo Bills, to talk some fantasy football. Put your analyst hat on for a second before we talk about Pickens going to the Cowboys. Did you like the Bills offseason? Do you like what they've done so far? Do you like what they did in the draft, Mike?
I did. So coming into the offseason, I thought that the defense was the side of the ball that needed to have the focus on. And I like a lot of the defensive players the Bills have had in recent years, but I think a lot of the fans listening would feel the same. That defense always seemed to come up short in the big moments. They really struggled to get consistent pressure on Patrick Mahomes in all of those big games against the Chiefs. So now you're coming at it from a different – you have a lot of different players on that D-line led by Joey Bosa now, who is someone who could still get after the QB at a very high rate when healthy. And you add a lot of youth to this D-line. And then I know when the guys come back from suspension and stuff, they're going to have problems each week deciding who gets active. They have so much depth now on that D-line. So you feel good about that in case injuries happen. And I think you feel good about it in a long-term sense as well, because in recent years, that defense has lost a lot of key players and stuff as people age out and get to that portion of their career where they're looking to get big paydays. Now the Bills have answers for that for the next few years with a lot of youth on that side of the ball. I would have liked maybe one more splashier name at wide receiver, but look, I don't want Brandon Bean getting mad at me. I understand where he's coming from, like with the concerns of last year were much bigger than this year because Josh Allen just won the MVP, and they were a play or two away from maybe being in the Super Bowl with a wide receiver core that I would argue had more questions than it currently does today.
Yeah, so Michael, and you joked about this, like we on the East Coast woke up to this news, but you really woke up to it based in Los Angeles. And funny how the Cowboys, you know, they could have mentioned this yesterday or last night. No, let's make sure we win the news cycle today by releasing. They get Pickens. Let's start with the Steelers because I don't know where they go from here. Obviously, the quarterback is an issue. There's a vacuum now in targets. Do you see them making a play for somebody like a Gabe Davis? Or is there somebody on this roster right now that you could say, you know what, that's somebody that could step up and be the number two opposite of the newly acquired DK Metcalf? What is your opinion here on this Steeler offense that still feels like it needs a little bit of work?
Yeah, I think it still needs a little bit of work. And it's a confusing path that they took for me. Because, look, I'm not going to argue that DK Metcalf isn't a better wide receiver than George Pickens, but they're very similar styled wide receivers. They're primarily out wide receivers who could win downfield, win on the long ball, stuff like that. Now, they do it a little bit differently. DK separates a little bit better. Pickens is a little bit better on contested catches. But their style of play is pretty similar. Now, the thing, though, is they gave up a second-round pick to get Pickens, to get Metcalf. They got a third back for Pickens, but they also had to make DK Metcalf the fourth-highest-paid wide receiver in the NFL. He is very good. I don't think he is top four at that position. So they gave up draft capital and a lot of money to get a similar style of receiver, and now you lose Pickens, And you look at your offense, and it's pretty similar to what it was last year with one big-name wide receiver and then other guys who are just more contributors, in my opinion, than anyone who could be a number two. But there still are names out there. Like, Gabe Davis is one. One that I think fits really well will be Keenan Allen. You could put him in the slot. He could kind of be like what Tyler Lockett was for DK Metcalf all those years in Seattle. Amari Cooper is still out there. But also, I am of the mindset that the Steelers quarterback is still on the open market right now. A guy that NFL fans know very well for the last two decades who likes to be in the news cycle a little bit. So, yeah, he's dragging this out. But I don't think the Steelers leave free agency and the draft with just Mason Rudolph on their roster if they don't know that Aaron Rodgers is coming.
All right, let's talk about that just a little bit more before we talk about Pickens with the Cowboys and what that means for Dak and CD and Pickens. Because Gene and I have a friendly wager, Mike. We like to, when we make wagers, we wager Gene's beverage of choice, his adult beverage of choice, the box of wine. So we have a box of wine bet on whether or not Rodgers plays in 2025. I am of the belief, based on his last appearance on McAfee, when he put out his number and said, I'm willing to play in 2025 for $10 million. When I heard him say that, I convinced myself that Aaron Rodgers is no longer going to play in the NFL, that there isn't a team that is going to be willing to pay him $10 million for what he can produce at this stage of his career. Are you certain that that's the guy that's going to end up in Pittsburgh? And if he does, who's making the concession? Because it seems like Pittsburgh probably doesn't want to pay Rodgers what he's asking.
I think Pittsburgh makes the concession, and I do think that he will be playing there because unless their plan B is maybe to trade for Kirk Cousins or something like that, I think there's no way they pass on Sanders and all those other quarterbacks that they could have potentially gone after and didn't make a splash at all in free agency besides bringing back Mason Rudolph. To me, it tells me that they know that they've had these conversations with Rodgers, and he just, because remember, at this time last year, the story was Aaron Rodgers is nowhere to be seen. He's not even in the country, let alone at minicamp and stuff. So I think Rodgers is at the point where he no longer wants to do the portion of this portion of the NFL calendar, and he wants to show up in July or something like that. Do I think it's smart? No. But to me, I just don't look. I know Mike Tomlin. I like to joke. I think at the end of each season, he brings in a big wheel and he spins it, and whichever quarterback it lands on, he's like, my challenge this year is to get this guy to the playoffs. But I don't think he would go in with just Mason Rudolph because we've already been there, and their absolute ceiling is 9 wins and a first round exit, probably by the Buffalo Bills. But I think they have to have a bigger plan there.
Okay, so hear me out, Mike, because if there's anything I feel like the Steelers are, it's arrogant, right? They have they do things their way. They have their beliefs, and the reality is, right now, they're a mediocre NFL franchise. But they have this arrogance about them, whereas if Rodgers weren't to show up, I'll throw the name at you, and you can tell me I'm nuts, but it's not unprecedented. What if they fall in love with the rookie? What if they fall in love with Will Howard, who they drafted in the sixth round, and they try to make it work with somebody young who you know, his measurables at least, comp very similarly to a quarterback we're familiar with in Buffalo?
I wouldn't put it past them because, like you said, if there's any team and coach that think, like, I can get by, it's the Steelers. But it's been done before, but I would be shocked personally. And I feel like Aaron Rodgers still thinks that he has stuff left in the tank. I'm not going to sit here and say he definitely doesn't, but watching him the last 3 years, it looks like his best football is long behind him. But he doesn't think that way. And like you said, the Steelers are a little arrogant. If they're thinking anyone could get this guy back to the playoffs and to the Super Bowl, it's like that meme, right? Like, it doesn't work for those people, but they might just work for us. Like, that's what I think the Steelers are looking at Aaron Rodgers right now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
We're talking to Michael F. Florio, NFL Network, the Florio Football Show as well. We'll tell you where you can get more of his content. From the Dallas side, how do you like this? Is it all systems go with Dak Prescott? And, hey, I thought the Cowboys would, you know, take a bigger swing in the draft when it came to a running back. So your thoughts on what that timeshare is going to look like here in Dallas in the backfield, Mike?
Yeah, so with George Pickens, I don't think his fantasy value changes a ton because he was already the projected number two wide receiver, and that's what he's clearly going to be with the Dallas Cowboys. I think he'll be volatile. Some weeks he'll give you really big fantasy production. Other weeks, not so much. But I do think CeeDee Lamb is a winner here because there was no one to take defensive attention away from Lamb last year. Plus, this could allow him to operate even more out of the slot where he is just pretty much unguardable. So I think this is a really good thing for him. And I agree with you. Dak Prescott is a winner here as well. Dak was going really late in drafts as a QB2, a low-end QB2 at times because of the lack of receivers. But I think he should be at least a high-end QB2 right now because now he has a much better deep threat than anyone not named CeeDee Lamb last year. Another quality option. Plus, Jake Ferguson was hurt a lot last year. So I do think Dak is a winner here. And then as for the running backs, I think Javonte Williams starts the year as the starter. And I know they're saying there's untapped potential from his knee injury and stuff, but Jaden Blue is really fast and explosive. And I know he's a day three pick, but I think he has an opportunity to at least win a split of the work there. And he could run away with the job. So he's the cheaper fantasy option in early drafts right now, but Blue is definitely someone in the later rounds of my draft that I'm going to be throwing a lot of darts on.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about them. I mean, Blue being from Texas, I'm sure that there'll be a little bit of a boost there, knowing that he played at the University of Texas and played in Austin there. But I also think to myself, man, if you're buying in on Javonte Williams behind an offensive line that's actually worse at run blocking than the line he ran behind in Denver last year, good luck with that.
Yeah, and look, Javonte came into the league with a lot of hype, so some people are still out there holding on to that. Jerry Jones is clearly one of them because he thinks that maybe if he could get back to who he was pre-knee injury, but some guys just don't get back to that form, and unfortunately Javonte hasn't. He's one of those backs who's solid at everything but doesn't excel in anything. Blue does have something that he excels in, and it's speed and burst and big plays. And even if they end up being in a timeshare, if that's the situation, I want the explosive guy who could turn a 10-yard run into a 60-yard run and not the guy who's going to get me down 5 yards at a time.
Michael, it's time for the draft. I'm talking about a fantasy draft, and we're thinking you're already slotting this. Where do you have Ashton Jeanty going in the first round?
He is a first-round pick. I got him in one draft with the 12th overall pick, and I was shocked. I think he'll go in the second half of the draft. I don't think he's like a top 5 or 6 pick. But for me, I have him ranked 4th at running back behind Saquon Barkley, who I'm going to tell you guys right now, I'm not going to be the one drafting Saquon this year. That'll be other people. I have Bijan and Jahmyr Gibbs ahead of him, and that's it at running back. So I'm really excited for Jeanty, who was born to handle 300 touches, and he has the perfect coach for it in Pete Carroll and Chip Kelly, who have always been very run-first coaches. So, yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of volume there for Gentry and enough to push him. Probably for me in that like 8 to 10 pick range in the first round, but certainly in the first round.
And, Michael, what about these quarterback competitions? We all know what happened with Cleveland, the slide of Shador and what they have in their quarterback room. Now I also have eyes on what's happening there in Indianapolis with Daniel Jones and Anthony Richardson. I mean, these are decisions that are going to be made in the preseason that are going to affect how we draft some of these assets attached to their names come our redraft leagues.
Yeah, and with the Browns, right now, I think it's going to be an all-out camp battle. My guess is that I would imagine Joe Flacco, being the veteran, gets to start the year. But I think it's possible that we see 3-4 players start for the Browns at QB this year because Flacco is what he is at this age. Kenny Pickett, look, he's flashed here and there, but maybe he could win out because he's still kind of young. I'm still of the mindset, though, that I think Shador Sanders has the most upside of anyone in this QB room, and I'm hopeful that he gets a chance to start this year. As for the Colts, I'm an Anthony Richardson guy. I know last year was rough, but I think the Colts brought in the perfect type of quarterback because Daniel Jones is good enough where if you need to use him, you could convince yourself that you could make the playoffs and stuff with him still. But he's not good enough where he's going to be the clear-cut favorite coming into a camp battle, like if they signed a Russell Wilson or a Sam Darnold, a Justin Fields, something like that. So I think for fantasy, if you're a really big fan of the pass catchers, you probably want Daniel Jones. But I think Anthony Richardson has way more upside than Jones does. He just needs reps because he was 21 when they drafted him. He had less than 400 reps in his college career, and he still has more reps in college than he does at the NFL. He just does not have a lot of seasoning under him. The Colts knew that when they drafted him, so you got to give him reps. So I'm hopeful that he could win that battle pretty early because he needs all of the repetitions in camp that he could get.
Michael, and hopefully I have this correct, but I read this stat that the one running back that has 1,000 yards in each of the last 4 years, nobody would guess it, it's actually Najee Harris. And so Najee Harris out with the Chargers again, but I'm thinking, you know what? Step aside, Najee. Here's Omarion Hampton. What are your thoughts about the Chargers backfield? A team that, okay, it's got a makeover now. You've got Harbaugh, the coach that loves to run the football. How do you see that timeshare breaking out with the Chargers? Can we invest in Omarion Hampton?
You definitely can invest in him. It's the matter of if you want to pay the price to get him. Because right now, in the early drafts I've done, I've seen him go in like the fourth round. I'm not convinced I'm ready to pay that price. Look, everyone loves the new shiny toy, and he was the consensus RB2 in this class, even though he wasn't mine. But to me, what made him so great is that he was built to handle 250, 300-plus touches at the NFL level. Unfortunately for him, so was the dude who he shares a backfield with in Najee Harris. And Najee has chunk play speed. He does not have home run hitting speed. Never had a 40-yard run in his career. That's kind of how I look at Hampton. He's faster than Najee, but he is more of a chunk play guy than a home run hitter. To me, these two are – I think Hampton is the better runner of the two, but I also think they're pretty similar skill sets. So I wouldn't be surprised if they alternate drives or if it's a 50-50 split. I think Hampton is good enough where as the year goes on, he could run away with it. But I think Najee is going to be a much bigger thorn in the side than the Hampton Hive tends to believe. Plus, the Chargers used their non-restricted free agent tender on J.K. Dobbins. So if he signs elsewhere, they now get a comp pick. So that could muddy the waters and kind of lead to a path where J.K. Dobbins returns there. And if that happens, I want no part of this backfield.
We get a schedule a week from tonight. Is there anything that you're looking forward to seeing? I mean, we're reserved to the fact that the Bills will not only get a lot of primetime games, but will be playing on a holiday, whether it's Christmas or Thanksgiving. What are your thoughts, Mike?
I always look at the holiday games. I look at the international games, and I look at the Bills schedule. But I will admit, schedule release gets a little overhyped because we already know who these teams are all playing. We just don't know what days and times. But for me, it's the primetime games, the international games, the games that we know we're all going to be watching. Those are what I like to look at.
Yeah, I can't wait. I just kind of eat it up, maybe because I'm so hungry for football. They have me. Mike, Michael F. Florio, NFL Network, the Florio Football Show. Mike, always appreciate the time. We got to get you up here to Rochester during camp. Tell everybody how they can get more of your work.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to try to make it up there in August this year because I want to be there for camp. But everyone could follow me on Twitter, Instagram, Blue Sky, at Michael F. Florio. NFL Network. I'm starting my fantasy rankings for NFL.com. Those will be out later this month. NFL Fantasy Football Show twice a week right now. SiriusXM, Rotoballer, a whole bunch of places. Just find me on social and it's all kind of there in one.
Championships are won in May. That's why we invited Michael F. Florio to start talking fantasy football with all these moving parts. Mike, appreciate the time. Enjoy the rest of your week.
Thank you so much. Go Bills. Thanks.
Michael F. Florio. Yeah. Bills Mafia. NFL Network, Florio's football show. Talking a little bit of fantasy there, getting his take on what he thought about the Buffalo Bills offseason. He likes the moves that have been made.
Didn't even get to ask him about Travis Hunter, too, with the Jags. There's so many questions right with these rookies. Like, tomorrow, we're going to talk to Amia O'Brien, 1010XL. She's an Ithaca grad. She's got a daily show down there in Jacksonville, and she covers the Jags. And, well... Gabe Davis, what the heck happened? That's pretty basically
Travis Hunter got drafted. That's what happened.
Well, wouldn't you... You still need a stable of receivers, though.
Not at that price. I mean, I that's the only explanation I could have. If the guy played hurt last year and that affected his production, fine. And the other part of it is, like, we all agree that if Josh Allen went to Brandon Bean and said, go get Gabe Davis, Gabe Davis would be a Buffalo Bill.
I think that carries a lot of weight, yes.
I imagine the same weight is carried with Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville. If it's not there with between Trevor Lawrence and Gabe Davis, then he becomes expendable.
Didn't the GM just start there, though?
New GM, new head coach. Really, maybe the new GM just looked at the number and said, the number doesn't equal the production. He's out of here, which I would say to that, maybe ask your quarterback because he's the guy that's going to be behind that production.
It was the old GM, like, hey, Gabe, come on, you know, oh.
Spraying the air freshener before anybody comes in. Trent Baalke.
We're not there yet. You know, we still got a couple of days going through. Coach and I haven't sat down and gone through the final board yet. We'll do that on Monday.
Amazing. Just amazing. Why didn't that guy keep his job? I don't know. Good to have Mia on with us. Good timing, Gina. We'll have her on with us tomorrow afternoon. We'll talk about the offseason for Jacksonville, the release of Gabe Davis, and the addition, the drafting of Travis Hunter. That's exciting for the Jags. They've got a player that a lot of people believe is generational. I don't like throwing that around, but, you know, he could be special.
And as far as the Bills, I don't see myself owning a single Bills receiver. Because every league you're in here, if it's, you know, certainly around here, you're going to have a Bills tax. Tell me which Bill will help your fantasy team.
You're talking depth pieces. You're talking Shakir is a depth piece for your fantasy team. Coleman is a depth piece for your fantasy team.
Kincaid's going to be a top 10 tight end. All right, show me.
I would say Kincaid is a depth piece for your tight end, too, if you're drafting tight ends.
Look, I would love to have James Cook. Particularly as a running back, too. Probably he'll go, like, maybe running back one, but then he's in a timeshare, too. And that's correct. Not great for a fantasy.
Happy Hour is next. We'll break down this trade that sends George Pickens from Pittsburgh to Dallas. We can scratch our head and wonder what the hell the Steelers are doing. What's next for the Pittsburgh Steelers? A team that I dubbed earlier is just mediocre.
Also, we haven't gotten to this. Hot uniform talk in the NFL today.
I saw this. What the hell is going on?
What is going on? Why? Nothing for like days, and then all of a sudden, here we go.
Oh, by the way, the Amerks playoff next round's schedule has been released. We'll talk about that as well. And when you could see the Rochester Americans look to advance in the Calder Cup playoffs, a round of shots and your phone calls. Plenty of time to talk to you at 585-866-4FAN, 866-4326.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.